Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. He said, well, asked me last year after I preached, said, after the service, said, preacher, how old are you? Well, I'm 83 years old. Amen. Going on 84. Yep. I've been saved 58 years, been preaching 50 years. Amen. And where I'm pastoring at now, I've been there 46 years. Amen. Amen. And it's been all about him. Amen. All about him. Amen. Amen. Just go ahead and sit down a minute.
Amen. Help yourself, preacher.
Amen. I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to know some people that walked and talked with me. But when I got converted, they turned their back on me. I want to die on the battlefield, want to die in this war, want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Some folks say, give me silver, some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus with glory in my soul. I want to die on the battlefield. Want to die in this war. Want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I'll read the last couple of verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The Bible says in verse 13, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they had lifted up their voices with the trumpets, the cymbals of instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by the reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. That's what we need today. Amen. In our text that we read here this morning, now David had passed the scene. He had died early prior to this, and Solomon was in charge. Of course, David wanted to build this temple, you know, but he was a man of war, and God wouldn't let him do it. But he let his son Solomon build the temple. And so the text that we read here this morning, they are getting ready to pray the prayer of dedication, Solomon is, and to preach the sermon of dedication here concerning the temple. But I want us to notice in our text here what took place, we might say, before the literal service had really started. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Solomon hadn't preached. He hadn't prayed. But notice what happened before all this took place. I want you to notice two words in my text. The Bible says here in verse 13, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when? I want you to underline that. When they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praising the Lord, saying, for his good, his mercy endureth forever, then. I want to preach on when and then. Amen. If there's no whens, there ain't going to be no thens. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, I want to say something here. I believe one of the greatest needs of this hour is getting back to praising the Lord God of heaven. I'll agree with the preacher 100%. We've got a mess going on behind our pulpits today. But then on the other hand, we've got some of the greatest preaching that's ever been done, I believe. We've heard some of it here this week. There's never been none any better. There'll never be none any better. So really, preaching is not the problem in a lot of our churches today. I'm convinced the fact that we're getting away from praising God for what he's done for us. Yes, sir. There was a time when the old timers would come to the house of God. Some of them would have their bib overalls on and a white shirt, probably the best they had. And they'd gather up on the outside of the church for whatever started. They come to have church, not to go to church. There's a difference. And a lot of times, it would break out on the outside before it ever started on the inside. Matter of fact, that's how I got in. My home church is a bunch of men there that would meet in a pine thicket behind the church. And they would pray for me. My wife would go down there at that church. She got saved before I did. And she'd tell them what a sorry husband she had. He needed to get saved. And them fellas believed her. And they'd go up in that pine thicket and call my name out. And I mean, they would pray. They would pray over me. And I contributed that prayer of intercession is one of the reasons I'm here saved today is because somebody got concerned. And those same men would come down there and off that mountain praising God. Amen. And then we gather on the outside the church. They didn't talk about who won the car race. Who killed the biggest deer? Or who won the Super Bowl? Uh-oh. They came there to praise God and thank God. And that's what we need to do. Now, they brought the ark into the temple here, the Bible tells us that. That means Solomon hadn't preached. Matter of fact, he does all this in chapter number 6. He preached a short sermon, only 11 verses. But then his prayer was 31 verses, the rest of the chapter. Preachers, I believe if we pray more, we could preach less. Amen. Pray more, we can preach later. And so the service hadn't really started. Amen. But I want us to notice what they were doing. And by the way, I find this in a lot of our churches today. We ought to thank God, preacher. What we've got right here. You won't find it many places today.
That's right.
You won't find it. The average Baptist church across this country anymore, they come in, sit down. Bless me if you can. Bless me if you can. Dead on 4 o'clock. I believe one of the reasons we're losing our young people today in our Baptist churches, they're not seeing mom and dad praising God anymore.
Amen.
Amen. But notice what happened here. First of all, the Bible says they came together as one. They came in unity. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says they came as one. They come to make a sound to be heard, praising and giving thanks to God. What would happen if we all come together like that today? Come together as one, with the intentions of praising God when we come together. Yes, sir. I believe the same thing could happen. I believe, first of all, they were excited about the temple. We ought to be excited about the church today. Both the body and the building. They never had a building like this.
That's right.
That ark had been here and yonder in tents and everywhere else. They've got a permanent place for that ark now. Yeah. And I believe one of the reasons they were praising God is because of the fact they had a place to go to now that they could worship, a permanent place. And they was thanking God, I believe, for what had taken place, that they had this place that they could go to and worship God. I want to say that ought to be true for us. Thank God for the church and the building. Thank God for the building. I mean, we've got it made today with padded pews, carpet on the floor, AC, DC, BC, and everything else, and we still can't praise God. But we've got more to praise Him for today than they had. Amen. Thank God Jesus never died on the cross then. But now He's died and resurrected, saved us, praise God, by His mercy and by His grace, on our way to heaven. What else could He do for us? Amen. We got more to praise God for than they had. Yeah, they were excited about a place of worship. Amen. Thank God for the church. And by the way, preachers, don't be ashamed of that word church. We got a bunch of preachers up our way and across the country taking that off of their signs anymore. Some kind of fellowship or something going on. I say praise God for the church. Jesus said, I build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Thank God for the church. I was saved in a church. Praise God. Bible said Jesus coming back after the church. Hallelujah. If you ain't in the church, you ain't gonna go. Amen. And you and I ought to thank God. But let me say this too on the other hand. It'd be better to meet in a brush harbor and to have God in there with you and praise God for what He's done than it would to have the fine building and forget God. I'll tell you where we're at today. We're about where the church of Ephesus was. Oh, we're fundamental right. I mean, we're dogmatic, right? But there's something missing in most of our churches today. We've lost, or left, didn't lose it, left it. That first love. What was that first love? Praising God. Lifting up God. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot to praise Him for. I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. Now, I told you about those men praying, my wife praying. I had a godly mother praying. Let me just tell you a little bit of my testimony. My wife preached me under conviction. And she didn't open her mouth. I woke up in the back seat of a 56 Ford one hot Sunday morning. Matter of fact, I'd hauled moonshine liquor out of Wilkesboro in that Ford. And just as I raised up, my wife and had my four children, my mother, and all of them were going down to church. And God let me see that. I never did get over it. It wasn't but a Sunday or two. I found myself getting ready one Sunday morning. They said, some of the kids said, Daddy, where? I said, I'm going to church with you today. And praise God, I went. And the man of God preached. I didn't get saved that morning. But I went back at night. And the man of God preached again. I saw myself a lost sinner on my way to hell. And the Holy Ghost showed up. And he said, I need to get saved too, praise God. And I went to an old-fashioned altar, got born again, saved by the grace of God. I thought the church was going to tear the house down that night. I got saved. Praise God. Yeah. Note what there's a saying here in this text. For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. I wonder if he's been good to anybody here this morning. I say thank God. He's good to all of us. Yes, he is. Amen. Yes, he's good. Give him the praise. Hallelujah. I tell you what happened if we come to the house of God like that. Just come in the house of God. Boy, he's good, ain't he? The Lord's good, ain't he? Yes, he's good. Oh, yeah. If we do that, our winds would turn into winds. Hallelujah. Praise God anyhow. When they started praising God, then the house was filled with smoke. Yes. Could happen here today. Amen. Yes, sir. Well, when they got through shouting and praising God, Solomon said, now it's time for me. Yeah. Boy, it'd make it easier on our preaching, wouldn't it? And so Solomon, in chapter 7, he preaches that little short sermon, about 11 verses. And then he picks up in chapter 12 through the main of the chapter praying the dedication prayer. And look what happens then in chapter 7, verse 1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire sacrifices and the glory of the Lord fill the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped. That's missing in most of our churches today. I say he's worthy of our worship and our praise. Thank you, preacher.